Hi, good morning, everybody. This is Javier Marín, Chief IR and ESG Officer at MásMóvil. Welcome, everybody, to our first quarter 2022 conference, which, as always, is going to be led by our CEO, Meinrad Spenger. Meini, all yours.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. This is again a result call on quite positive news. We are reporting first quarter results, and we can say and conclude that the growth story of MásMóvil continues, and despite of relatively tough market conditions. And what do I refer to? I refer to the increasing weight of ultra-low-cost offers. This is a segment where MásMóvil is not present right now, but still we are able to continue growth both in service and services, a number of services, as well as in financial results. If you look at revenues, we have a year-on-year growth of 42%, and organically, meaning excluding the Euskaltel Group, of 7% this quarter. In EBITDA, we reach 277 million, which implies a 51% year-on-year growth, or in organic terms, an 8% growth. We also can see an EBITDA margin expansion of 3 percentage points to 38%. In terms of lines, we have exceeded 3.1 million broadband lines and a total of 14.7 million lines, including postpaid and prepaid lines. And that means that we have been accelerating our growth in broadband lines this quarter versus Q4 last year. In terms of fiber footprint, we maintain our leadership position in terms of biggest fiber coverage in Spain, and we have reached already 27.2 million homes. In net debt, we are in line with our expectations in 6.9 billion, which means in terms of leverage, it's 5 times EBITDA on total debt and 4.1 times on senior debt. If we go to next page, page number 4, we see the revenue evolution, and we see the, let's say, total growth of 42% in service revenues, or 7%, 43 million this quarter on organic basis. If we look at EBITDA, how does this translate? This translates in a 8% organic growth, 20 million. It would have been higher without the accounting headwind, IFRS 15 especially, but still we are growing not only in absolute terms, but also in relative terms. Also, we have a slight, let's say, margin extension. On page number 6, we see in absolute numbers the evolution quarter on quarter, and we see that we have 277 million or an 8% organic growth, and it's close to 38% EBITDA margin. In the number of lines, we have reached these 14.7 million lines, including prepaid, which is stable, postpaid lines, which are growing, and broadband lines, which are also growing, and we see that we have accelerated growth versus last quarter, reaching 68,000 net adds in broadband, basically all fiber lines. If we look at the reported CapEx, it's in line with our expectations. Also, the share of CapEx on the total reported revenues is in line with 11% with what we have announced. So basically business as usual. Also on page 9, the reported cash flow from operations is negative, but was expected to be negative. We have one-time payments. The deferred capex impact of 84 million, for instance, is the so-called Pomelo contract, where we buy usage rights from Orange, and we had some deferred payments. So, and the same happens with the networking capital adjustments, which are you cannot extrapolate them for the full year. So we are in line also with our cash flow from operations. What does it mean in net debt? Okay, we have a slight increase in net debt. We're reaching close to 6.9 billion euros of reported net debt. And if we look at the structural net debt and the derived leverage levels, so we are at close to 6.8 billion of euros of net debt, or 5 times EBITDA. And if you look just at the senior structural debt, we are at 4.1 times EBITDA. So this is a first overview, and we are happy to respond to your questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Q&A session starts now. If you wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. Thank you. The first question comes from Joshua Nels from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Thank you for the questions. A couple from my side. One was just, I'd love to hear your thoughts on the kind of competitive environment at the moment. You mentioned at the beginning that there'd been a shift towards these ultra-low-end offers. And, you know, I think you can see from the portability data that companies like Digi, Avatel are making quite a lot of headway. So, you know, how would you characterize things at the moment? Has the market got tougher? And have you taken any steps with your own tariffs to respond to that, or are you keeping them the same? And then the second question was just regarding your network footprint. I think in previous quarters, there's been a couple of slides on your fiber footprint expansion, how many lines you have, how many of those are indirect versus owned or having usage rights. Perhaps you could just give us an update on where things stand with regards to your network today. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. Thank you very much. Well, yes, if you look at the market evolution, we see that the segment of operators with no infrastructure or at least no mobile infrastructure and limited fiber infrastructure is the segment that is growing faster than any other segment in the market. What does that mean? That means that the wholesale market in Spain is working very well, and that they even have, let's say, they can be more aggressive in pricing than the infrastructure operators. How did the rest of the operators in the market, let's say the more traditional operators, react? Mostly with price decreases. Telefonica has announced, I believe, 8 or 9 tariff adjustments since February this year. Both at the low end, also at the mid segment or in the premium segment of FMC without premium content. Orange has also opened to push harder at the ultra low cost segment with revised tariff portfolio, especially in the Simio brand. And Vodafone continues basically with strong promotional activity. In these circumstances, what does MassMobil do? I mean, we are quite calm. Basically, we are not playing in this ultra-low-cost segment yet. And what we try to do is to maintain and uplift the ARPU in this difficult environment with additional services or with, let's say, creative ideas, initiatives. For instance, we have the first Netflix partnership on national level in Spain where we have included in the tariff mobile and fixed in our Pepephone brand, the Netflix offering as a standard. That allows us to maintain ARPU or even increase ARPU and not enter in this price war scenario. So that's our strategy, stability, limited promotional activity, and assure that the clients have no negative surprise at the end of the month in their bills. In terms of our fiber footprint, own network or, let's say, usage rights versus third-party networks, there was no major change, so we don't communicate this specifically. But the top of the mind, around 19 million homes are direct or direct network or, let's say, with usage rights. But for sure, Javier and his team can give you the detailed number of this call.
Thank you. And so maybe just one follow-up on the first comment. So you say you're not present or active in the ultra-low end at the the moment, could we assume that you might either reposition one of your existing brands or maybe become a bit more price aggressive there? Because I think brand consolidation is something that's often talked about. You have a number in the market. Latest thoughts on that would be helpful too.
No, it's quite simple. No, we have to see how the market evolves and how our commercial performance evolves. We are quite happy with our commercial performance also in Q2, so we don't foresee any aggression, any price aggression from our side as well, because we have to look at the sustainability of us as a company, and we have responsibility also towards the market. We are continue to be very rational, and right now we don't foresee any, let's say, movement downwards in our tariffs, because we are continue to grow.
Very clear. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Henry Storch from Auto BHF. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Thanks for the presentation. Maybe on the revenue growth, could you split that into what comes from volume and what comes from maybe price increases or something like that?
Of course. Thank you for the question. Basically, all it comes from volume, because it's true we are doing upselling continuously. We offer, let's say, higher fiber speeds, etc. But we do not obligational unilaterally price increases. I think that's a big difference between MásMóvil and the rest of the traditional brands in the market. And it's true also, let's say, ARPU is the big challenge for the whole market, also for MásMóvil. We are more or less able to maintain ARPU, but it's the market environment is not favorable to sustainable ARPU increases currently.
Okay, thanks. And maybe one or two more. Could you give like a soft guidance on CapEx in for the full year? Did it change, or is it still at what you guided previously?
Yeah, no change. Basically, that we have foreseen. So in terms of payments, as you saw, we had some extraordinary payments. In terms of CapEx, we are in line with the 11% over revenues, and we think we will keep more or less at the same level the full year.
Okay, thanks. And maybe one
sure.
more.
Thank you.
As we
Jacob.
One more. as we see inflation and supply chain headwinds everywhere, are you affected by those, or do you see no disruption so far?
No, of course we are also affected by inflation and by supply chain constraints. However, we have been prepared for it. that's our responsibility, you know. So we have a higher stock than usual in routers, in handsets. And therefore, we are managing quite well, but we have had to face also some increase in unitary prices in both mobile handsets, routers, and other, let's say, infrastructure elements. Right now, we are able to manage the impact, and hopefully we'll see a relief of this constraint over the next months. But basically, we are managing, but it's a difficult situation. We have to consider that right now, the time from order to delivery, for instance, in CPEs, is usually 1 year or even longer. So that requires to have, let's say, business continuity plans in place that we applied and that are working quite well. In terms of inflationary effect, I mean, we have limited contracts related to inflation, so straight implementation of price increases due to inflation. We have some contracts with thresholds that below a certain threshold no inflation applies, and this was last year basically below this threshold, so we were not affected in at least part of our contracts. Obviously, in terms of energy, we are affected. Energy prices in all over Europe, but also in Spain, have been increasing. We have foreseen this in our, let's say, budget and in our forecast. So we are right now quite calm regarding this issue. But as you know, with all the Ukrainian situation, obviously the impact could change. But right now we are quite calm about it.
Okay. Thank you.
Henry, sorry, this is Javier. I'm sorry to be a pain, but the CAPEX answer that may give you obviously is not guidance, no? So you ask for guidance, but it's not really guidance. It's just our best estimate. Huh?
Yeah, okay. I got that. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, just a reminder, in order to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. The next question comes from Matthew Burr from Barclays. Please go ahead.
Well, hi, guys. Thanks for the call and great quarter again. I had three questions, please. First, in the Spanish market, I had a question around NPS. In the past, you've scored very well there, and I was wondering what was, over the last 6 to 12 months, the evolution from you and maybe competitors. Are there a big shift in customer perception around the brands? The second question was around the deal with Orange. I don't know if you want or can comment on that, but at this stage, are you hoping or expecting that this deal will be reviewed by the Spanish competitive authorities or by the EC DG Comp? And lastly, if you could give us an update on Portugal. There's been a few comments on the press, and I think yourselves have made some comments. So maybe if you can give us an update on how the business, or rather the plans are going, when we could expect a launch from your mobile product. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Well, NPS is nothing really changed. MásMóvil is leading all the rankings in NPS, Net Promoter Score, and I'm quite sure we will continue leading this ranking for some while. Why? Because we have implemented a very, let's say, focused customer experience improvement initiatives. And so we are right now measuring the service quality of each individual client alongside around 20 KPIs that are network KPIs, that are also service KPIs like waiting time in the call center, like billing volatility, like Wi-Fi coverage, etc. We are measuring continuously the number of clients that are negatively affected by a non-adequate service. Last year in the MásMóvil group, we have been able to reduce this number of clients from January to December by 45%. So we're continuously working on quality of service. This year we have the same objective in the Euskaltel brands, which, by the way, have also already improved NPS, which was negative when we acquired them, and we are on the way to become positive. In some of the three brands, we are already positive. The rest of the market is quite stable, usually zero negative, with some fluctuations. We have seen, for instance, last quarter, Telefonica in mobile only had a positive NPS. Nothing changed. We are continuously leading the NPS, and we are optimistic that we will be able to further improve client experience. Also interesting to say that in the new services, we have also very high NPS rates. So we have, for instance, in alarms, an NPS above 70 points, which is probably world record in this sector. So we are very happy about this as well. So we are consistent along also the new services with our customer-first value. In terms of the Orange deal, we continue the negotiation process. What we understand right now, and it's early in the process, but we understand that this will be the competence of DG Competition, so Brussels, But we also understand that the CNMC will have a strong role in this process, because we have to explain very well the singularities of the Spanish market, meaning the high number of players, the strong growth momentum of infra-light players or players without any infrastructure. We have to understand also that the value of this market is rather focused in the fixed segment and less in the mobile segment. So there are a lot of things in this process where for sure the CNMC will have an important role. In terms of Portugal, we have received a lot of interest of financial partners, infra funds, etc., to join us in this project. But also we have received interest from industrial players, operators to collaborate with us. We are right now reviewing this and fine-tuning our strategy. Also considering we have been able to get like quite a reasonable spectrum portfolio in the last auction process. And we will we expect to announce over the next weeks our definite decision on how to proceed. But the good thing is we have opportunities, we have interest of financial partners to support us that, so that we can allow for the MásMóvil Group a CapEx-like strategy. And we have also industrial collaboration opportunities. So we are positive. And by the way, in Portugal, our operation is growing. We are growing around 2,000 to 3,000 mobile lines a month, which maybe for Spanish dimensions is not so much, but in Portugal we are quite happy with this evolution. We have also improved the NPS there significantly, which two years ago when we acquired Novo was very low, was negative, and we have also so stabilized operations. So overall, we can be happy with our evolution and with our management team in Portugal.
That's very helpful. Thank you. If I can follow up on Portugal,
yes.
My understanding in terms of the regulatory framework is that there isn't a roaming obligation yet set in stone or regulated prices for the roaming obligation that the MNOs would have to provide to you and other new entrants. So is it fair to understand that maybe on the one end you will stick with your MVNO contracts while you build your network, or are you expecting to have some sort of roaming agreement negotiated, discussed, enforced by the regulator that could be even more attractive than the MVNO terms?
Yes. We have currently an MVNO agreement with Altis, the Mayo brand, former Portugal Telecom, and we have acquired spectrum that we enables us to deploy our own network. The regulator, yes, has an obligation to provide NRA agreements, so roaming agreements, to parties that have acquired spectrum in the last auction. That means MásMóvil is beneficiary of this regulation and has the support of a regulatory to conclude with an NRA. Right now, we are still in commercial conversations, but we have the right to involve the regulator already, because also already a reasonable time has passed by, and we plan to do that in a few weeks of time if we don't come to a commercial conclusion.
That's very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Laura Hamsey from MSS. Please go ahead.
Hi there. Thanks for taking my question. Most have been asked and answered, sorry. Just a housekeeping one, really, because there is the debt overview in the report, and one has obviously the bridge loan and the other doesn't. That's fine. But there's also other debts, grants, deposits, guarantees of 14 million euros, and that is not included in the sort of net debt that's used for the leverage calculation. Could you just explain why that is not included in there? Thank you.
Javier, could you take this question, please?
Sure.
Happy to follow up offline if that's easier.
Yeah, no, I'm you know, I think they're included within the financial analysis, but let me check. Let me check and give me a couple of minutes. I'll come back to you in a second. Huh?
Sure, thank you.
And Laura, the answer is yes. It's included within the financial leases. So it's creating a little bit of confusion, but we didn't want to have more lines. So you do have the 14 million in financial leases plus 243 million specifically for IFRS 16.
Okay, it is a bit misleading then, because 257 obviously says for the financial leases, and it does show the same amount in the note under the previous table, which does have the 14 in there. So that should probably be reading 243, as you said, correct?
Yep, correct, exactly.
Okay, got it. Exactly. Thank you so much for clarifying.
Apologies.
That's all I had.
We
no worries,
will clarify
all good.
On the next. Yeah, great, thanks.
Thank you. Thanks, Javier.
Thank you. The next question comes from Arnaud Bourgeois from Amundi Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. Can you remind me what is the amount of deferred capex that remains to be paid? And can you update us on the asset sale process? I was wondering if you have received some asset to be sold. Thank you.
Javier, deferred capex, Pomelo.
Sure. As we said in the report, there is only a final tail to be disbursed, or cash outflow in 2023 is around 20 below 25 million.
Okay. Thank you.
And asset to be sold? No, we will not sell assets in the classic sense. We are finalizing a NetCo right now in the northern territory of Spain, part of the let's say Euskaltel territory, where we upgrade from cable or HFC to fiber. We are quite advanced in this process, or very advanced. I would say that probably we plan to announce the deal in the month of July.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Vivek Khanna from Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, everyone. I had two questions, if I may. The first one, sort of housekeeping. Could you just tell us, in euro terms, what was the negative impact of IFRS 3 in this period compared to the impact in Q1 last year? I mean, obviously, the positive impact last year, I think, would be higher than this year. So on a year-on-year basis, you would have sort of headwinds this quarter on the year-on-year comparison. So that's the first question. And the second question just relates to, you know, if you have any update on your thoughts on the Virgin brand and how you think about developing that or maintaining that going forward. Thank you.
Yes, thank you. I mean, we have, as mentioned, a pro forma EBITDA growth of 8%, and that has been negatively impacted by mainly two accounting non-cash factors. One is IFRS 15, we are a growing company, and the PPA from our Euskaltel purchase, which had a positive impact in Q1 last year. So in total, we have a headwind of around 20 million euros in this quarter. So we would have, a significantly higher growth in EBITDA this quarter, like for like. If we look at the Virgin brand, I mean, obviously the situation has changed significantly in the, let's say, importance of the brand for Euskaltel as its only nationwide brand. And in our case, as a group, now we have, at least five brands, Yoigo, MásMóvil, Pepephone, Leica, Lepara, that have, a significant relevance on nationwide level, and we have the traditional brands in the north from R-Cable, Telecable, Euskaltel, also Cook, that are for us have absolute priority. You know? Virgin is for us an interesting complement, but it's not, the flagship national brand for us. Where it's positioned, it's accessible premium. We have very good, let's say, service quality there. We have positioned it as a basic premium, plus the possibility to configure premium content and to add premium content. So what we see, it especially competes well with mid premium without, let's say, soccer rights. It's especially attractive what we see right now for Vodafone clients. We're capturing quite well or acquiring quite well with our Virgin brand. But having said that, obviously the relevance of the brand within the MásMóvil group is lower than it was in the former Euskaltel group.
Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. The next question comes from Joshua Nels from BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Hi, guys. So I thought I'd just want to ask one follow-up on the NetCo. And I'm aware that we won't go into the kind of financial details of form to find out more about that in July. But just kind of big picture, could you give us an idea of what was the rationale for doing this? Is it primarily because you wanted to unlock value in the network as things stand? Or do you think that now in Spain, the cable network is becoming somewhat redundant? I'd love to know how you see customer perception or net promoter scores contrasting between your fiber and your cable lines now that you have good exposure to both. So just conceptually, do you think that over time, the entire Euskaltel cable footprint would need to be migrated over to fiber or different wholesale deals, or do you think there is a role for cable to play in some parts of the country? Thanks.
Okay, thank you. Overall, we are planning to update our full cable network in Euskaltel, R-Cable, and Telecable, so the three regions, Galicia, Asturias, and Basque country, to fiber. This is in process, and basically it will be finished mostly by the end of the year. Right now already we are doing around 70% of our gross heads in the Basque region in Galicia on fiber. We have done around 55,000 swaps on top of that, meaning besides gross heads, we have also migrated already a lot of clients to fiber. And the churn is lower, simplifying a lot because the service quality is superior. We have also launched in Galicia and in the Basque country already what we call the Fiber Max, so the maximum speed with 1 giga symmetric, and the reception is very positive. So we have been able, after years of losing clients in the northern territories, when the Euskaltel brand was, or the Euskaltel group was, a standalone operation. We have been able to stabilize this situation, and we think that part of it is due to the enhanced quality of service that we can offer. In terms of lower churn, higher NPS, and I think that's a positive upside for the future for us as a group. In terms of why we're doing, the NetCo is basically, it was part of our, let's say, financing structure for the Euskaltel acquisition. And it enables us to accelerate these movements to fiber. So basically, that within a year, we have finished the full, what we call retrofit, so the update from cable to fiber.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, there are no further questions. I will now give back the floor to the speakers. Thank you.
Okay, Manny, do you want to make a closing remark?
No, thank you. No, as mentioned, I think everything in line with our expectations. We can be happy. We have been growing faster this quarter in broadband than last quarter, so we are optimistic that the growth story of MásMóvil will also continue in Q2 2022. Thank you very much.
And Manny, the only comment that I will make is that you've managed to smash another record. This conference call is only 30 minutes, which I think is fantastic to see everything condensed in just 30 minutes. So thank you very much, everybody, and we'll see on the next quarter conference call.
Thank you. Have a nice day. Bye-bye.